Let's talk now to Dr. Lorcan Sir, who lectures in housing at the Technological University Dublin. Dr. Sir, very good afternoon to you, and thanks for taking our call. I mean, obviously, that the housing situation has very many different aspects and facets to it, and the recent one, of course, in focus has been this move by investment funds to start to buy up entire housing estates or large parts of housing estates. What do you think of the measures that have been announced today by the government, agreed by the government, to try to tackle this?
Good afternoon, Brian. Well, initially, you know, looking at this objectively, you can't help but think that these were not designed to make much of a difference. And I think that is really obvious, because when you look at the share, the market this morning, IRES REIT, which is probably the biggest fund that owns apartments, their shares were actually up by 2.62% on the back of this news. So obviously they're not put out by any of this. The stamp duty issue of, you know, raising the stamp duty from 1% to 10%. I noticed that the minister didn't actually answer your question there. And I suspect that in the UK that level is 17% for non-residents and 15% the equivalent. I suspect there's absolutely no research behind why it is 10%. Probably a figure plucked out of the air to decide, you know, on balance, this is how much the market will bear. And you made a good point there about the planning permissions going forward. This is only effective going forward. I looked at 2020's planning permissions. So there was 44,000 planning permissions granted for houses and apartments last year. And when I strip out the one-off houses and the social houses that never come to the market anyway, these funds will still be legally entitled to buy up 75% of all the houses. If all those planning permissions got built, they would still be able to buy three quarters of all the houses that would be built on the back of those planning permissions. And that finally, questions then over enforcement. I mean, how are you going to enforce it? Can an owner occupier in one of these houses sell the house on then to a fund later on, or can they rent it out? So there's a lot of confusion and issues still to be ironed out.
What about the situation in relation to apartment developments? I mean, the minister was very clear there. They're not included in these provisions. And the concern seems to be that measures of this sort, I think the phrase he used, could result in no apartments being built at all, certainly significantly reduce the investment in apartment developments.
Yeah, there's a kind of narrative that runs from developers and their lobbyists and the various interests that, you know, because the percentage of apartments in our national housing stock is about 10 or 11%, that we need loads of apartments. But that's kind of comparing, you know, Lisbon and Letterkenny and Shannon Bridge and Stockholm. Really, when you look at the large urban areas, Dublin has 35% of its stock in apartments already. The problem with apartments and viability is that our planning requirements, coming from the same department, the Department of Housing, have made it so that we need to build, you know, high-rise, high-density units, which are quite expensive to build, and banks won't fund them unless they're pre-sold, and the only people who have the money to buy these, in advance, are these large funds. So we've kind of, the viability issue is very much self-inflicted. So it's very disappointing that the government doesn't regard apartments as housing. You know, and there's a question there about national planning policy wants us to densify and live in cities, but at the same time, the only options are smaller, darker units that are available for rent. And we have to remember that the build-to-rent apartment standards are lower than normal apartment standards, which is, again, not very attractive. And indeed, in light of COVID, there's an argument that those standards should be revised.
So are the Greens, if they are concerned, right to be concerned about the implications of this for the kind of communities, the way communities will develop in our cities and larger towns, if this measure has that kind of effect?
Well, if I was Eamon Ryan, I would be very angry about this, because what's going to happen is you're going to see families and everybody who wants to buy their own home fleeing to the commuter counties. And we know that, like Naas and Newbridge this year, there was more houses built there than there was in Dublin 1-8 in the first quarter of this year. And of course, that, you know, what you end up then was a load of commuting. You end up with fuel poverty, like people having to, you know, buy two cars. And the bulk of all this, the burden of all this, which is something that's never mentioned by housing ministers, is that the burden of all this kind of commuting and childcare and all that falls on women. Disproportionately rather than men, who do most of the heavy lifting around, you know, dropping kids off their mothers and all, and creches and schools and all that. So this is, on many levels, this is kind of wrong. Yeah.
So I mean, back to the old chestnut. The issue here at its most fundamental is supply. And until housing supply is tackled, really there's a lot of this is tinkering around the edges.
I think the supply argument is really, it's black and white, it's linear, and it's very misleading and simplistic. Really what you need is the right supply in the right location at the right price. The last time we had a boom and bust, we built the right type of housing, family housing, but in the wrong locations, and we ended up in ghost estates. This time around, we're building the wrong type of housing, student housing and co-living and build-to-rent, in all the right locations, i.e. in the city centres. So we still haven't managed to get that combination right, if you know what I mean.
But the point is, I mean, if we are to tackle this question of supply, funding is crucial, isn't it? And, you know, everything we're being told is that we have to look overseas for very much of this funding. It's going to be foreign funding of one sort or another.
Not necessarily. I mean, we have the likes of the credit unions, for example, are stuffed to the brim with money these days, and they could be enabled to lend money out. We have, like, this story is full of policy contradictions. You know, on the one hand, we say we need international money. On the other hand, we have the Irish Strategic Investment Fund, you know, lending out money to fund, you know, on your own site in RTE there. I think half the price of the site that was sold to Cairn Homes was funded by Activate Capital, which is an arm of the Irish state, you know, to build severely unaffordable housing. So one arm of the government doesn't seem to be talking to the other on many respects in this, you know, whether it's transport, finance, where the funding is going to come from, planning or housing.
Very good. There we leave it. Lorcan Sir from the Technological University Dublin.